Welcome to the Bitches Be Brave podcast. We know how difficult and crazy it can be to juggle family, career, and not to mention make time for yourself as a busy working mom.
So it's time to get inspired and gain the tools to create a life you love. We are your hosts, Bev Steele
and Heather Hobbs.
Join us as together we motivate, inspire, and gain tools to thrive in all areas of life. Let's go. Welcome back, everyone. Today we are interviewing Suzanne Carpenter, who's the founder of Carpenter 180. She's a nutritional consultant, and I think Heather and I, at least I'll speak for myself, Heather, I think I learned a lot on this episode. What about you?
I did too. I mean, I always love to get someone's perspective, and I think it is really timely because I know myself, I think during this time of homestay, I've definitely probably put on a few pounds and have been eating a lot more. And it's been something on my mind that, I mean, all of a sudden summer is here. And so I'm like, I want to kind of dial it in. But there's so many different fads out there, from intermittent fasting to keto, and like, what's the right thing. And so I love her approach. She talks about, you want to have something that is going to be really sustaining you for the rest of your life. Like, what do you want to do when you're 80? And so I love her take. I love her real life approach on how to eat healthy for life.
Yeah. And I think that I'm at a point that I just really don't want to have a diet. I just want to have a good system or program of what I eat, eating, and know that I am eating well and know that it's okay if I want to have a treat or whatever. So just really kind of learning about that is, to me, super important.
Well, and I love, we started off the conversation, and I don't want to give it all away, but we talk a lot about too, just, I think, the mental prison that we keep ourselves into. And I think we don't talk about that a lot. It's something that a lot of women, we don't really maybe talk about, that guilt and the fear or the thinking that we hold around food and what we're eating. And so I love her honest approach and the dialogue that we had around that today too.
Yeah. Okay. And you brought up the fact that, kind of taking 3 days. And I think that's really important because any of us can do something for 3 days, right? It is those habits that we get into that it's just like, oh my gosh, I'm just used to it. Or even a habit, I'm not on right now, so I'm just going to throw everything out the window. So, Suze actually is offering an offer for 7 days and also some shopping lists. So anyone can try something for 7 days. I know I'm going to. And just kind of look at some of the things she says and try it. What is there to lose?
Yeah. So you guys will hear it. She gives a code for all of our listeners. And if you miss it, we'll also put it in our show notes as well. So can't wait for you to listen to this episode.
Be brave and eat your fiber. Here we go.
Hey guys, we're just taking a quick break to tell you about an amazing new wine that we just discovered. You guys know that nobody loves a glass of wine more than we do. But when we learned what is actually in the wine that we were drinking, we were shocked. No wonder we were getting headaches, brain fog, and having trouble sleeping.
That's right, Heather, but then we discovered dry farm wines. Dry farm wines are organically crafted, unprocessed wine free of sugar, additives, and lower in alcohol. These wines are amazing, and they're better for our bodies and our planet. Now we can enjoy the pleasure and euphoria of wine without the negative effects of higher alcohol consumption.
To find out where you can try these amazing wines and get a special Bitches Be Brave discount, click on the link in our show notes below. Welcome. We are here today with Suzanne Carpenter, who's an approachable, sincere, fun-loving, and passionate leader who loves to personal improvement and transformation in those she teaches. Through her successful 10-year nutrition career, Suzanne saw a gap in the industry and a trend in society. Americans are more confused and overwhelmed than ever when it comes to actually losing weight and keeping it off. She created a virtual nutrition education company called Carpenter 180. Whose mission is to provide affordable and simple programs that can clear up food confusion so that people can win at losing weight. Suzanne is a certified nutritional consultant, the CEO and founder of Carpenter 180, as well as the creator of SOS, Suze on Your Shoulder, Babysit My Plate, and the Food Peace University. 3 different virtual bite-sized nutrition courses as well. They were designed to teach you what you need to know to create sustainable results. And more than anything, she's a mom of 4. So Suzanne, we're so excited to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I am thrilled to get to be here with you too.
We're so excited to talk with you. And I know we were just catching up a little before this, and I love that we have this common link of Michigan between us. And so I'd love for you to just kind of walk us through how you got to be doing what you're doing today and to really identify this gap in how you wanted to find a solution and help people out.
Sure. Okay. So my friends call me Suze, and by trait, I am a nutritional consultant. All that means is I have a ridiculous understanding of the human body and food and how it works together. But what I noticed is we have like the serious problem, and it's that women are suffering because they're really frustrated and they're confused about what it takes to lose weight. So I developed inexpensive programs to help them understand how to eat, so they get their weight right where they want it, so that they don't have to suffer anymore. So like you said, mom of 4, married 24 years, Michigan born and raised. Right now I live just north of Atlanta, Georgia. And I promise you, after all these years of being a mom, at least once every quarter, I still am turning a load of laundry pink. I just did it last week again. But I think that I accidentally stumbled into this nutrition space. I started out teaching first grade. I came home when number 2 was born, developed like the superpower. When I understand complex science, I can explain it in a way that a first grader gets it. And so we end up just like me being home, my husband's building the corporate career. In 2009, Michigan did take a turn, and my husband decided we were going to need to leave his position. So we packed up the family and we moved down to Jackson, Mississippi. And with that, we took a 40% pay cut. So here I am, a stay-at-home mom, and my husband's thinking, oh, we just cut out savings for weddings and colleges and our retirement. And I'm thinking like a girl, like we just cut out smoking hot dates and I'm gonna have to budget shoes and these kids are expensive. And so I got started with a direct sales company. And it's really where I just started to get my entrepreneur chops. And I remembered, oh yeah, I was that kid picking dandelions in the backyard, selling them in the front yard when I was a little girl. And I like the idea of just getting the family back on track. So what's happening at this time is I'm fitting people to nutritional products, but I noticed that they are wanting them to be magic diet pills. And I was like, guys, don't exist. If they did, I'd tell you about them. But what I was having to do and loving to do is I was working with their nutrition in the kitchen. Like, I've got to help you get this part right in order for those products to work at all. So while I'm in this space, somebody asks me this question. And this is the question that changed everything. Because up until this question, I had a secret that I did not plan to tell a soul. I didn't tell my husband, who is an angel. I just was so shrouded in shame with the secret. So somebody says, hey, Suze, you say that you would die for your kids, but would you change for them? And I was like, uh-oh. That one kept me awake at night because I had an eating disorder and I was doing everything I could to hide it. And I developed it in high school. And it was something that I wrote as such a shameful thing inside my own head. I wrote this narrative that I'd be unlovable and unlikable if I ever told anybody about this. But the question was posed, I thought to myself, oh my gosh, if my girls grow up to be like me, I can't stand that idea, because I had this mean bully voice that was just holding me trapped all the time. And I had this really fractured relationship with food, and I couldn't handle the thought of them having that. So eventually, part of the being brave part was I had to step outside myself and trust fall that if I sat with doctors and dietitians, they would be able to provide information I didn't already know, and that I'd be able to use it and I'd be able to get my life on track. And that was really, really scary. But what ended up happening is I started learning a couple of key principles that were hidden in plain sight that I couldn't find all those other years. And what started out as this journey to just get me right, to be a good role model for my girls, to be authentic and honest and something that I wanted them to duplicate, I was planning to just have it be for me and for us. But then I recognized, although women are not all suffering an eating disorder, many are suffering from disordered eating, and 70% of Americans are overweight or obese, and they're still confused. The diet industry isn't working. So that's what developed Carpenter 180. It's like a Mother Teresa complex in me wants so badly to reach out and help others so they don't have to suffer as long as I did. Mm-hmm.
Gosh, you know, this is such a powerful conversation right now, just, you know, with conversations that I've had with my friends and with family about being at home and, you know, food being around or drink being around and that kind of thing. And it I think it can bring out some of those, you know, challenges that maybe you can get away from in a work environment. I have so many questions for you, but, I have daughters as well, and I understand that fear. I even think if I say, gosh, you look so, you know, pretty in that, or, you know, anything that has to do with food or whatever, sometimes they will come back with like, oh, is that a fat joke? So, you know, that's very, very difficult. And as a mom and a woman, and wanting to be healthy, there's just no way to get away from the conversation about food. So how did you begin that? I mean, it sounds like you educated yourself, but then also with your daughters, how did you structure that so that they were looking at mom in however they were looking? You'll have to tell us that, and not looking at it's like, oh, she's trying to lose weight, or she, you know, it's all about the number on the scale.
Right. Well, okay. So let's go with the girls first, and then I'll tell you next how my initial steps happened, because those are really good questions that you just asked me. With my girls, I want to think of myself as leading from the front, and actions speak louder than my words every single time. So I honestly don't monitor their food very much at all. I mean, I grew up in a way that I don't keep loud triggers in the house, like bags and bags of chips. We'll have them because I want them to be able to choose to have or not have and learn moderation, rather than it's never in the house and they never have to learn how to back away from something. But what I do my best is just showing up to the food and eating what I should be eating consistently in front of them with a smile on my face. Not the begrudging, wish I could have some of that ice cream, because in fact I can. Instead of like salivating over cookies or Skittles, I might choose to not have them, but it's a choice and I'm not feeling deprived in that moment. So what I'm trying to get around to is do me really well and just take care of myself and let them observe. Because it's in that kind of freedom where they don't feel forced into something that they're much more likely to copycat. Because they notice, wow, she feels good, looks good. She likes the way she's eating. If they don't pick up on it even right now in their ears, but they are, they're going to see that as that's how you live as a healthy adult. So I'm modeling that behavior. Does that answer that question?
Yeah. Yeah, it helps. I mean, I think it's definitely a fine line. We as mothers of daughters, and maybe, I don't know, Heather, is that something that is a challenge with sons as well? Because you do, eating disorders are not, you know, they don't favor one sex over the other. You hear about it a lot with boys as well.
You do. And I think, you know, what's really going through my mind through all this, because I can relate. I mean, I too had suffered from an eating disorder that I carried, and very similar story from high school through college into my married life. And there was a day where I sat down with my husband and like shocked him to death. He had no clue. He had no idea at all. And you know, I'm happy and proud to say that the behavior has been long gone, but I can tell you the mindset does not go away. And that's where I would really love to get your perspective, because I think kind of like once an alcoholic, you're still an alcoholic, you're just recovered. I think it's very similar for an eating disorder. You can stop the behavior, but that mindset every time, you know, you eat something that you know you shouldn't, or you overindulge on something. And I'm with you. I mean, with my boys, it's like, I don't want to put that fear in them. I try to teach them healthy habits, but it's hard to sit there and see sometimes my older one too, just, he doesn't have restraints on he just will go to town eating and eating and eating. And it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I don't want him to have the weight struggles. I don't want him to have the mental struggles, but what's that fine line? Cause I know it's a prison sometimes in your own head. That doesn't
it is. Work. And I agree with you 200% on, I say that I'm actually recovering from an eating disorder, and I always will be. And now I have to have guardrails in place, because my tendency will be that I'll go want to overexercise. I could never purge. I could never throw up, but I did abuse laxatives and overexercising as my way of purging. And to this day, it is still a trigger. It's still when I get nervous or I feel certain feelings come on, I notice that that's what I want to go do. And so now I have my husband, especially around, where I'll say to him, you know, I feel like going to, you know, for a long, long run. And he's like, you don't need to punish yourself. But I recognize that I've always got to be in that mindset of working on my mind and crowding out the thoughts that don't serve me. Part of it was a lot of mental work and working on the mindset and working on understanding that your thoughts are things you don't have to think. You can kind of push them out, but it's like a muscle. You have to practice it. What I had to do in the beginning, when I first realized I had to step this thing out, I mean, I was terrified. And I'm sure you probably were too, Heather, when you sat down with your husband. Mm-hmm. I was terrified I was going to not love me anymore, that my friends were going to leave. So it didn't just happen overnight. It was a process, actually, mm-hmm. where I had to decide I was going to do something, but I still wasn't ready to even make a phone call. I had to it down. I had to practice it in my journal for a little bit about thinking about talking about it. And then the next step was working with dietitians and counselors. And I told the first person about this because I was paying them to. Like, that relationship wasn't as important to me. But I remember, I mean, to this minute, I remember my neck sweating and my hair being all wet. I felt like my bones were going to fall out of my body. I felt like I had a vice on my neck trying to tell her for the first time, because I wrote such a bad story about it. But she helped me to reframe it. But then what happened is, there's an element of, you're working on your mindset, and that feels so big, and it feels hard to get a hold of. Like, it's like trying to hold water. But then when I learned some principles about how exercise is not part of the weight loss equation, that was key to really understand that. And then when I started to understand the fundamentals of protein, fat, and fiber being the zero to carbohydrate, and I understood how that would rev metabolism and burn calories and keep me full. Now, I wanted to be full. So when I started to just say, okay, I'm going to have to apply this, and it worked, and it was simple, and all of a sudden, I'm eating in a way that's balancing blood sugar. I'm not feeling the emotional roller coaster of blood sugar going up and down. I'm feeling full. My weight is staying right where it is. My alert, I'm sleeping better, I have better energy. It became easier to keep doing those things and to keep eating that way, and it didn't feel restrictive, because I was making this choice. I wanted to feel better. And then the more you do something, then it happened that you understand science. And as I kind of drip on people and they begin to understand how your body stores carbs, and you can begin to look at, okay, now how am I going to pull in my favorite foods? Because I had to create a lifestyle out of this thing. I can't be doing deprivation about everything. So then that's where I'm teaching my girls as well, like Bev, we were talking about the girls, about be a snob, choose your favorite five foods, like figure out like what you really love. And if you're not eating something that you really love and you're just checked out, but there are a lot of carbs and sugar, why bother? I mean, if you're going to be eating something you love, you got to wake up and enjoy it and taste it and just be present. So it's some of that kind of stuff.
I love that.
Yeah. And I you know, When you're speaking, I'm thinking a lot of that for me relates to habit. Like I know a lot of women out there that are working hard, especially now that if you're working in an office, you're home, you have kids, and it's like, I deserve this. You know, we talk about, you know, I'll just have that glass of wine or I'll have that bowl of ice cream, and then it kind of turns into more. And talk to us about, you know, do you agree? Is it a habit, and how can you change some of those things? Even, you know, maybe it's not that it's my favorite thing. I just want it because I think I deserve it.
Well, okay. So again, if it's your top favorite food and it sounds really good to you and you're having it in a way that serves you, like two glasses of wine versus a whole bottle, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. This is something that I just want to have. Using it, you're not just having it and filling and then having regret the next day. If you're choosing to have it, that's empowering and that's awesome. So in terms of the habit, I just love that you brought this up because it is so much of a habit. It's an emotional habit. So in fact, that's why with one of the programs that I developed, it's called Sue's on Your Shoulder or SOS. And it is exactly tapping into that problem right there, that we just wake up and we automatically, our brain responds to certain things in certain ways, and we don't even have time to slow down and think about it to do something different. So making a new habit requires ridiculous attention. But then there's a couple things that can happen. Yes, I think I deserve this wine, and I especially deserve it because I forgot my morning intentions and I already had Cheez-Its this afternoon. So I'll just blow it and start again tomorrow. So the reason I did the SOS, it's a daily soundbite that's 3 to 4 minutes long, and it's just one a day. So it doesn't take any time. It comes right to somebody's text or their phone. But what I'm trying to do is every single day show up to somebody, teaching what they need to know in the right order so that I can begin to help them with the mindset like we talked about and beginning to develop new habits and introduce and affirm this stuff is really hard. You have to focus on it. And there are frequent times you just don't want to. And then how do we navigate around that? How do we get back on track faster next time? How do we actually transition from binge, restrict, overweight, crazy diet loop to I have got to create a pattern of eating that I can do right now that I see myself doing when I'm 80 so that I can actually learn how to, for most, get the weight off and keep it off. For others, just how can I exist right now, keeping the rate right where it is because I like it, but have better energy and better control over food and not always be feeling like you're rewarding yourself like a dog for something. Rather, I chose it. This sounds great and have it. Because that empower leads to self-confidence, which leads to what a lot of people are really looking for.
Yeah. Gosh, I love that. And I know you talked a lot already about, you know, the three key being protein, fat, and fiber. How do you, I mean, I'd like for you to talk a little bit more about how you see kind of the ideal eating regimen. There's so many diets out there, right? There's keto, that's super big right now. That's like the new hot one. You know, you've got these, and I think for some people, they claim it works so well and they love it and it's, you know, and for others, not so much. And so do you feel that, you know, the programs that you have are ideal for anybody? And how do you see all the other different types of diets for people out there?
Right. Okay. So diet by definition means pattern of eating for man or mammal. So we have interpreted diet as dredge, like it's this really bad, restrictive thing that we want to get away from. So if you think of it in terms of pattern of eating for man or mammal, the next thing I always ask people, or I like the tensions part is this pattern of eating that you're doing right now sustainable? Can you see yourself doing it when you're 80? Because if that answer is no, we're not there yet. Because when you do something temporarily, it actually leads to temporary results. Mm-hmm. You think in terms of, okay, so I am going to get these last 10 pounds off. So I'm taking out wine, I'm taking out chocolate, I'm taking out carbs. You get the 10 pounds off. What's going to happen when you get there? Mm-hmm. Carbs, the wine, the chocolate all come back and the weight comes on and then some, and we stay in this diet circle. So the reason I teach about protein, fat, and fiber, really, I don't look to influence. I want to educate, to empower. And when you're empowered, you're inspired to keep going. If I can get people to understand protein, fat, and fiber turns off 8 hungry hormones, balances blood sugar. If you can show up to the first 30 of your day and have a meal like that, your food's going to work longer for you. You're likely to go into lunch because your cravings aren't off the rails and make another good choice that's going to serve you into the afternoon. And most people blow it between 3 and 8 o'clock at night when willpower is the lowest and metabolism's the lowest. And most women have done most of their calorie restricting up until that moment. So here we hit low willpower and low metabolism. And now we're going to start introducing the majority of the food. Really, when I can get people to flip it and just go to breakfast, lunch, bridge snack is between 4 and 6 to ruin your dinner. And then you have a sensible dinner and then you just quit for the night. What we're trying to do is create a pattern of eating again, that you see yourself doing with when you're 80. Now, what's so neat is we all need protein, fat, and carbs. Again, fiber being the zero calorie part to a carbohydrate. We all need those three macronutrients. The thing that you can play with is what amount does your body need? Because nobody's body is the same. So we can play and dial up and dial down some of those things given a different person's goals. But fundamentally, we need to have healthy fats. It makes you feel calm and relaxed and slows gastric emptying and helps you feel full longer. And it's so good for hormones for your body. We need protein. Protein protects and preserves lean muscle. Lean muscle, I mean, the bad news is, you guys, when we turn 30, we were losing 0.5% of muscle every year. Men are losing 0.5% of muscle a year. That's kind of like you bought a car and its tank is getting smaller by 0.5% every year. So 10 years from now, you can't put as much gas in your car as you could the day that you bought it. If you put the same amount in, it'd spill out. Well, the same idea with your body. You want the protein to protect your lean muscle. Storage tank for carbs stays where it is, because in the absence of space in your muscle, it spills out into body fat. So the other thing is protein turns off your cravings for carbs. And Americans are just kind of carb addicted. Like, we just get way too many. It's not that carbs are bad. It's just we're getting way too many. So then the reason I talk about fiber, and this is the part that people like lean in and go, what? That's like the most unsexy ever. That was like what my grandma talked about. Are you kidding? This is going to help me so much. But it is. There's no calories in fiber. Your body cannot digest it. Your body will work so hard trying to digest it. So studies show when you take your fiber from, say, on average, Americans are getting 9 to 15 grams a day. When you get it to 24 grams a day, your body's going to malabsorb about 90 calories. Over the course of a year, that's a 10-pound weight loss by adding in fiber.
So what
fiber
kind of fiber would you, what kind of fiber do you usually recommend?
You're like,
I mean, I'm like, hey, no, I mean, is it in the form of food or is it like supplements? Yes. Yeah. What's your fiber?
Yes. No, I'm definitely like, let's get our food from fruits, vegetables, whole sources of food.
You're gonna, from the earth. Yep.
So you're going to get your fiber from your fruits, your vegetables, definitely your non-starchy vegetables, whole grains and legumes. Mm-hmm. So then that becomes a lot of what I do as a business, is I help people to find fiber and learn how to incorporate that into their meal, because we've gotten good at eating healthy foods like quinoa bowls or acai bowls or smoothies. But what's happening is we're getting so much carbohydrate, not high fiber carbohydrate. We're getting so much carbohydrate that our body can't store it in our storage tanks. We have two storage tanks. We got our muscle, we've got our liver. And if they're already all filled up, it's going to spill body fat. So if you eat a healthy food that's a lot of carb, but your storage tanks don't have any room, no matter what, it's spilling out into body fat. So what we're looking to do is increase our high fiber carbohydrates so our storage tanks have room so that your body burns fat for fuel.
That is something I do not look at in my diet. And I think I look at everything in my diet, so I'm going to take a little closer look to that. Do you, Heather? Do you look at your fiber?
I do, but I know even like Bev and I differ a lot. So Bev has definitely been more on the keto side of things. So she hasn't, I mean, you don't do fruit. Like, I do a ton of fruit. Like, I do fruit all the time, but I think you've always been adverse, like from a sugar and a carbohydrate perspective, I think, because we've always differed. Like, to me, the other day I was laughing because I was saying something, we were texting back and forth and just complaining about something we were eating. She's like, I just ate a banana. I'm like, Okay, you did not just make it like, it was like, she made it sound like I just ate a whole cake, but it was like, I just ate
part
a banana.
Of that conversation. That was probably on top of something else.
But it was as like, to her, that was how, like, you know, and so I think we do differ that way. I'm, you know, I've been a vegetarian for 30 some years, 30 plus years. And so for me, I definitely do think I have a pretty natural high intake of fruits and vegetables, but I'm a huge, like, carb craving animal. So it's, yeah, from a fiber in the other kind of carbs, I probably don't monitor as much. No.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm looking at things more because just getting older, like I used to be able to say, okay, it's Wednesday and I want to be in that dress by Friday. And I could just change up my diet and it would drop. And you touched on strength training and muscle. I have lately been doing that, but I am a get on the scale person every morning. Heather and I talk about this. We have in the past, like I get on the scale every morning and it frustrates me that, you know, here I'm kind of looking at my diet and I'm added strength training. I've always been a runner, but adding that and nothing. So can you speak to, you talk about, you know, make it sustainable and really look at the long term when you're 80, but how you help women where it's like, I see nothing and I know I'm doing everything great.
Okay. Yeah.
Or I think I do. I need to look at my fiber.
I think that once you start looking at your fiber, you are going to feel so encouraged and so excited about this. Okay. So now let's go back to the gas tank analogy that I was giving you. You've got a full tank of gas. You decide you're going to come on over here to Atlanta and visit me. So you're going to top it off with $100 of gas, right? Well, if it's already full, it's going to spill out onto the ground, right? Okay. So same thing. If yesterday you had 3 bananas and a bowl of fruit and a scone and you ran to Starbucks, your muscle and your liver, your glycogen stores, your storage tanks are probably already full right now. So then let's say today you throw a bowl of oatmeal with some berries on top into your system and there's no room to store it. It's going to spill out into body fat. Okay, so what we're looking to do is make room for our storage tanks. How do we do that? So first off is let's talk about bread math. Picture a piece of white bread. That's roughly one serving of a carbohydrate. There's no fiber in it. And it's 15 grams of carbohydrate. Now, that our body can store roughly 3 pieces of bread in our muscle and our liver each day. So what we're going to be looking to do is how do we keep our net carb low and our fiber high? So fiber negates carbohydrates. So let's say we have that same piece of bread that I said had no fiber, but it was 15 gram carbohydrate. But all of a sudden we found a piece of bread that was 14 gram fiber, same 15 gram carbohydrate. It would only be one net carb, one little net carb going into your storage tank. So our bodies on average can store about 35 gram net carb. So if you can get in the habit of getting your fiber week 1 to 24, and then your fiber week 2 to 35, and you're drinking of water, you're going to find that your net carbs stay naturally low. That means that the glycogen or the carbohydrates are getting stored in your muscles, and then your body's going to begin to burn fat for fuel. So the other part is, it's in creating a lifestyle, and you know, you're feeling that tension, like I want the scale to go down, even those 5, thinking in terms of realistically, a 0.5 to 2 pounds a week is extraordinary fat loss. And so the fact that you get on the scale every single day will show you a good indicator over a month or two of how you're doing. Because you know how it like kind of zigzags, it might go up 1 pound, down 2 pounds, then you're even.
Oh, but yes.
Eventually it'll show you. You're like, God, I mean. Eventually it'll show you. That's natural. That's completely natural for that zigzag. Like it either, by the way, but it's completely natural. But if you can just kind of chart it and you'll see it going down as your fiber goes up and your net carbs low, your body's going to be burning fat for fuel. So again, to you prescribe more to a keto lifestyle, that's fine. Upping the fiber is not going to impact your net carbs because you're going to be eating these high fiber, low net carb foods. Mm-hmm. Just and I would imagine just lots of vegetables.
I love vegetables. I ate tons of vegetables. I don't eat the fruit, so they don't.
You know, and I don't tend to eat a lot of fruit either. Like this might be, Heather, you go, oh my gosh, but a half a banana is 15 gram carbohydrate.
Yeah.
A whole banana 40-gram carbohydrate. That's like two slices of bread in a banana with only a couple of grams of fiber. So when I start working with a lot of clients, they are big time in throwing blueberries and bananas and yogurt and all the things in their morning smoothie. And when I point out all these servings of fruit that they just put in, I'm like, that's like four pieces of smoothie that you're starting your day out in that's going to spike blood sugar, leave you hungry again in a couple hours. So one way to make the food last longer is throw some chia seed and some fat in with that smoothie, lower your down to maybe a half a cup or a quarter of a cup, like a small serving, so you still get the fruit taste, but your food's going to last longer for you and it's going to be lower net carb. The other thing is, if you're throwing a banana into a smoothie, or you're not tasting it, like if you're eating a banana, I would say eat the banana, eat the half a banana, but taste it rather than just blur it all up.
Yeah. So what are some of the higher fiber fruits you would recommend?
Your berries, your fruits, your strawberry, raspberry, blackberry, blueberry, boysenberries are going to be the highest in fiber, lowest in net carb.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to be clear, it's funny. The only way I do like bananas are frozen, by the way. So, but I'm not a big
in your smoothie.
In my smoothie. No, I mean, it's so good. And so I guess last question, are you a person that journals what you eat? Are you a believer in writing it down? And what are your thoughts on that? It's another Bev and I discrepancy.
Oh, I'm about to like crazy lose friends with this. I know, but I am, because what you pay attention to improves. And this is back to the question about habit a while ago and mindset. We're really, when people are looking to lose weight, we're having to make new habits. And it's kind of like, you know, when the dog around in the backyard, he runs the same thing, and he like makes a groove in the yard, and he always runs in the same spot, and it gets deeper and it's hard to get out of that groove. That's what we've done with our eating pattern. Like, we've got a deep groove and we have to get out of it, and it is hard. So what I have people do with journaling is actually just, yep, if you bite it, you have to write it down, and track your carbs and your fiber and know your net carb every day. Make sure your fiber is above 35 grams a day. Make sure your net carbs are below 35 grams a day, and you're going to be right in the zone. So a great practical thing is to actually do it the night before. I don't ever want to do this. I promise you. I don't want to, but I want more to have food peace. And so by writing it down the night before, today, I know exactly what I'm eating, and I'm just going to hold myself accountable to it. And I know if I do that, I've already done the math. It's already going to get my body working the way I want. And it is a way of simplifying, beginning to create a new habit. So what if you did it for a week or two, and then you start to see results and you start to feel better, but you also begin to learn, like you really get to learning, oh, this kind of food has this much fiber in it. This kind of food is around this much net carb. Now you're learning this new skill. Maybe there's going to be a point in 3 or 4 weeks where you don't have to journal and you can test it out and see how you're doing. Are you staying on track? If you are, you can kind of get away from it. If you're not, pull the journal back in, because it's helping to keep you right in your lane while you're developing these new habits. I, to this day, my thighs are not made of Teflon. So if I go up a couple pounds, then I know the first thing I have to do is drink my water and start journaling again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that for me, I love my fitness app. I love it. I can put everything in, but I get into that 3 to 8 time where I need SOS, Sue's on my shoulder, because then I just stop putting it in. As soon as I go off, then it's not even going to get documented. So that's, that's
or
really
the things that you eat like straight out of the carton, or just a few, you're like, oh, that didn't count because I didn't, put it in a serving bowl.
Right.
But I do always say, like, for me, I know that there's like this magic about 2 or 3 days, right? If I can like hunker down and stick to something for 2 or 3 days, then that craving goes away. That feeling of being hungry or that feeling of deprivation tends to go away. And so I always, I talk to my mom about this a lot, but it's like, just like tell yourself you got to get through it for 2 or 3 days. And I feel like that is when you hit smooth sailing for the most part. And you really can start to create that new habit that you're talking about.
Yeah. It's almost like it goes from being like your confidence of an accomplishment starts to rise. So then you get kind of excited. I feel the same way about that kind of 3 days. If I can, first day, very difficult.
Yes. The first day is a lot of grit. You know, the other thing is I would say from a lot of people, do you remember when you were in high school and you had to study for a test and you had all those books on the desk and you were like, I don't know what I need to know. There's just so much here and you were overwhelmed. And then you took the test and you could feel it like leaking out of your ears afterward. Remember that feeling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how most people feel about nutrition. Like nerds like me that can read the journals and decipher it, love it. But most people look at this interweb of information that's all these different bells and whistles and fads, and they don't know who to listen to and what the truth is. And so like my whole premise is, can I go back in and teach you guys the stuff you didn't learn in high school, the stuff I didn't learn? And it's like when your sunglasses are on top of your head and you can't find your sunglasses, it's the stuff that's hidden in plain sight and nobody can find. And that's what I want to go back in and restore people with. Because when you start a program, like your first 3 days, you know how you're like, well, I sort of pieced this thing together. I hope it's based. I'm not real sure it's going to work. And I'm not sure how long I can stick with this. That's the confidence that I want to start people out with. Like, no, I'm actually eating in a way I can for the rest of my life. I'm going to feel full. My energy level is going to be great. I can dine out, eat carbs, exercise less, but I can create a life that I love where I'm not always hungry.
Yeah. It's such a huge, I mean, I know when I'm doing great and feeling great about what I'm putting in my body, it's also like this amazing feeling of self-control. And you realize that is something that, you know, you cannot, that feeling of self-control is something you cannot buy. And it's, to me, that's the solve, right? For what we started this conversation about, is that disordered thinking that kind of never goes away. But when you feel like you're in control and you're doing things that are healthy and good for your body, that it just trumps all that negative self-talk that you put into your head.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. I think so. I just feel like for me in my life right now, it is more important on how I'll be at 80. I want to be strong. I want to be healthy, where before I really just wanted to be a size 2. Still do, but
yeah. Okay. Suzanne, this has been so amazing. And I know you've got so much information, and I love that. You know, I love the Suze on your shoulder idea, because I do think it's like when you're going through something, you need that constant reminder of why, and you need to know you have that support. So could you tell our listeners where they can find out more about you and your programs?
Sure. Everything is Carpenter 180. So website 180.com, and you spell the word one, O-N-E-8-0. So you can go there, and guess what? Everybody can start with days of SOS just to see if it's a fit, and you'll get these audio messages sent right to your phone. I have lots of resources and surprises and bonuses, and if you love it, it's only $15 a month. And the reason I did that is I want to impact the masses. I really want to help restore a lot of people. I don't want cost to be a barrier. So SOS, and then for your listeners, if they put in at the checkout the word brave, I have 4 different really good grocery lists I'm going to send. Not like that 17 page one that we don't use, but like, what do I really buy at Trader Joe's that's going to be high fiber, low carb? What do I really get at Costco? What do I really buy at the grocery store? Yeah. That's like that thinking part. Like, you can stop before you ever start because you get overwhelmed with what foods to get in the house to even start eating. So I wanted to that barrier. The other thing is Facebook and Instagram are Carpenter 180 as well. And if you follow me on Instagram, every day in the stories, I'll show one part of something that I'm eating for the day so that you can see it's not just smoothies and chicken and broccoli. But like, there's these things called GG crackers that are nice, high fiber, low net carb, super filling. And so I'm always showing off what I top them with and how I make high fiber waffles and just the different ways that I've been able to take foods that we want to be able to eat, modify them up a little bit so that they're 180 eating approved and delicious, and they're all HIT approved. So that's a good place to watch and see and learn.
Okay. I'm going to go on to get those shopping lists. I love it. Yeah. Okay. And I'm sorry. I'm so excited about this. I'm forgetting what I'm saying. Suze, one of the questions we always ask our guests, what does it mean to you to be brave?
Okay. To me, meaning it's showing up when you really, really don't want to anyway. Mm-hmm. So I heard, because I'm a fan of your podcast, and you talked about imposter syndrome before, and it's such a real thing. And I suffer from it as well. You see these other accounts that are huge and have years and years and 30 years of experience. And you can start to think, well, they're doing something. Why should I? When really, I believe that our message comes from our mess. And it's meant to encourage and inspire somebody. And when you're given a purpose or a calling on your heart that you feel strongly that you're supposed to do, that imposter syndrome can be the one thing that holds you back. And it can be every single day you have to overcome imposter syndrome. So being brave to me is showing up even when you're scared. It's just always being a little bit more brave than you are scared.
Yeah, I love that. So that's well received today.
Perhaps. So much. Thank you so much. And it was such a joy talking with you. And we hope to have you on again. So thank you so much.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. And I'd like to ask you, if you did, if you could please go to Apple Podcasts and leave a review and a 5-star rating, I hope. I'd really would like to get this podcast out to more women, supporting women, and I can't do it without your help. Thanks so much, and be brave.